Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Proverbs. We're continuing the study that we started several weeks ago. So please turn with me to the book of, like I said, Proverbs, chapter 5. And beginning at the first verse, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to mine understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge." And I'd like to say that the word discretion, it means that you should know what to do and what not to do, and that you should, knowing what not to do, that you should go ahead and do what's right and stay away from the things that you know will hurt you. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for my listeners, Lord, that as they listen to me, as they listen to their preacher at their church, as they listen to other people on this station, Lord, help them to understand the gospel. Lord, make it plain. Lord, make the word of God plain to them and open their hearts, open their eyes, that the understanding of their that you'd enlighten the understanding, that you'd give them, Lord, an understanding, a revelation of your word. I believe that you have a message today. I believe that you have a message tomorrow. Maybe some other preacher on this station would have a message. Lord, maybe maybe on Thursday they'd pick up the Word of God and read it. But Lord, your Word is powerful. Your Word gives us direction. Lord, your Word tells us what to do. And again, as we just said, it shows us what not to do. And my prayer, Lord, is that wherever they hear the Word of God, that they would begin to understand it, that they would begin to heed it, to put it into practice in their lives, that they would come to know the Lord in a greater, in a more important and powerful way. And Lord, I believe that if we keep the Word of God, we hear it and do it, then we make ourselves to be good stewards, we make ourselves to be good Christians, we make ourselves to be faithful servants. So, Lord, help the listeners today. Help them to understand the Word of God and give them the strength to obey it. And, Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, the honor. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, picking up at verse 3, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, and sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them." Now, several times in the book of Proverbs it mentions the strange woman, the perverse woman, the one that would lead you and seduce you away from the Lord, away from the things of God. I believe that it's literal. I believe that God is warning the Christian, if he's a man, to stay away from those women that would seduce, that would deceive, whatever. If you're married, you should stay with your wife. You should keep your eye on your wife and not on everything else. Conversely, I believe that if you're a woman trying to follow the Lord, that the devil can send the things that would distract you and seduce you. And you should also keep your eye on your husband and not on some other man. Now, he mentioned this first, I guess, in this chapter, or rather, should I say, in the book of Proverbs. He mentioned first in chapter 2. I'd like to turn there briefly, starting at verse 16. And he's saying that you should look to the Word of God, look to the things of God, and place them foremost in your heart. He says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the God of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go into her return again, neither they take hold of the paths of life. You know, when the Lord says something, and I believe that there are several themes here in the book of Proverbs, when he says something once, you should listen, because it's the Word of God. This is something from the mouth of God, something from the mind of the Lord. If he speaks to us in his word, even if he says it once, even if it's some oblique reference to something, we should take note. We should listen to what he says. But if he says something again and again and again, perhaps, just maybe, we might want to take notice of that. Every chapter in these first nine chapters of Proverbs, he mentions that we should look to the Word of God and look to understanding and look to God's wisdom, and we should ask him for those things. He's trying to say something here. He's trying to say that it's important that we follow the Lord. It's important that we cling to him. You know, my preaching, honestly, you don't hear a lot of it on the radio or on the TV very much anymore. A lot of pulpits and a lot of churches, they look at my message and say, well, it's old-fashioned, it's out of date. You know, brother, we don't have time for that anymore. We've got a mega church here. We've got this message over here. We've got all of these different things that are more fun, are more satisfying. They make us feel good. And I like to be satisfied. I like to feel good. I like to read about the blessings of God, but also there's the warning, the warnings that God gives. And again, it's out of style, old-fashioned, nobody wants to hear it anymore. But the book of Proverbs, the words of Solomon, are a warning to mankind, a warning that we should not forget God and his word, that we should not forget God and his ways. You say, well, I know what the Word of God is. That's what's written. What is God's way? Well, God's way, if you look at the Ten Commandments, he says, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. Make sure that you honor your father and mother. That these are very practical things that if you want to know how a Christian should act, how he should live, how he should think, he should live and think and act in a pure fashion. But so often, there's so many things that are able to distract us, so many things that seduce us. We can go to church on Sunday and hear, let's say, a message on tithing, for instance. And we can shout the praises of God, we can sing the hymns, we might go to the altar and pray and dedicate our hearts to the Lord. But then we get back home, and Sunday evening we're watching TV, and maybe there's on a certain channel they advertise the state gambling. And you say, well, you know, man, I wish I could win $1 million. Maybe I can play the lottery. Or they'll show advertisements for cars or perhaps diamond rings. And covetousness and greed is presented to us. And it's so very easy to be led astray and distracted. But we need to keep our eyes on God's way and God's word. He said that covetousness is really, that's not anything that we should keep in our heart. Greed, we shouldn't worry about that. Who needs to win the lottery and win $1 million? If we got the Lord, that when it was needed, God rained bread out of heaven for the people to walk outside their tent and pick up and eat. God is supposed to be our supply. God is supposed to be the one that we look to. If we have a need, we should go to the Lord. If we're sick, we should go to the Lord and ask for healing. Now, certainly, I'm not against doctors. By no means, doctors have their place. But we should trust in the Lord first, and the doctor second. We should depend on the Lord for our finances, and then the job and the benefits and whatever afterwards. We should look to God. But like I say, too often this world is structured so that your eyes are distracted from God and His Word. God thinks it's serious business. The two passages we just read, when it talks about the strange woman, and yes, I believe it's literal, you should be faithful to your wife or husband or whatever. But it's also symbolic. Symbolic that if God's way and God's provision and God's wisdom is portrayed as a faithful spouse, and the last chapter of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31, talks about that faithful spouse. And we're going to go to there in a few weeks. But if God's provision, God's way, God's word, God's wisdom is portrayed as a faithful spouse, then an unfaithful woman, or perhaps one that would cause you to decide to be unfaithful, that's symbolic of the things of the world and the things that the devil offers to seduce you from God's way. Do you understand what I'm saying? That it's symbolic, that this woman that would deceive you that he's talking about, that you shouldn't really have anything to do with, it's a symbol showing you, and we can understand that if you're married, you're a man, you're married, and you meet some woman at work, some secretary or something, or maybe it's the clerk where you pump your gas, you have to go in and pay, and you get to know the clerk, and the next thing you know, you're spending a weekend with her. You can be led astray. You can be distracted. We understand that's a physical thing, and everybody knows that about unfaithfulness in marriage. Everybody's heard stories. And God is saying that, here, this is something that happens in your daily life, too often, I might add, but this is something that you know about. And you see the consequences. If you, man and woman, you have children, and then the other woman comes into the picture, and then there's the divorce. The children will say, well, who am I going to live with? Oh, my dad don't love me. He don't love my mom. And the whole thing. You understand these things. And there's the financial aspect. You may have a good job. You may have a nice place to live. And you get a divorce and you don't have this place to live anymore. Maybe you're so upset and distraught that you can't perform on the job and you lose your job. You lose your car. You lose everything that you have. We understand that unfaithfulness can bring destruction in your life. And as I said, it's symbolic that if you get your eyes off of the Lord and off of the things of God and say, well, yeah, I heard that sermon in church, but I want to do what I want to do instead. Just as unfaithfulness in marriage can bring total destruction, he's saying that unfaithfulness to the Lord and His Word can bring total destruction and eternal damnation to your soul. Jesus paid an awesome price for our salvation. And the blessings, the Bible says again and again, that we can't even understand or fathom or think about or even imagine the things that God has prepared for us, those that love Him. We're going to walk on streets of gold when we get up to heaven. If we're sick down here, we can say, Lord, please heal me. And many times the Lord will grant healing. If you're confused, you don't know what to do, you can say, Lord, I'm confused. I don't know what to do. Please show me what to do. And many times, if we'll look to Him and trust Him, He will give us direction. He will speak to us. And how does God speak to you? Well, one way is to know the Word of God. And you come into a situation. He said, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. God can speak to you through His word. You can show up to church on Wednesday for a prayer meeting or whatever. Maybe there's a sermon going on. And the preacher may very well talk on the exact thing that you're struggling with. And you can get an answer from the minister, from the preacher of the gospel. God can send a little child to say something just in casual conversation. And out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise, he said. God can speak to you in an almost audible voice. God can speak in your mind, in your heart. God can speak to you. There's so many ways that God can speak to you. You can hear from God. You can get an answer from God. You can get a message from God. You can have direction, wisdom, understanding, discretion. You can know what not to do and keep yourself out of a lot of trouble. All of the wonderful things that God has. But you can be led astray. You can be seduced. You can fall into any number of different sins. And we should remember these warnings to not fall astray, to not fall into sin, to not be led astray, not be distracted, but to be diligent to follow the Lord, to know His Word, and to try to obey His will. Let's pick it up in verse 7. He says, "Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her." And again, this we're back in chapter 5 of Proverbs. "Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, and when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say," and again, this is a little bit too late to say this, "and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me." It's a little late in life. It's a little late to do that lamentation. In verse 14, "I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly." Various commentaries will say that I'm right, and other commentaries will say that I'm wrong. But I believe that Solomon is speaking to us in a parenthetical passion. He's, in effect, preaching a sermon. Then he'll say, "Well, let me tell you what happened to me." You look at Solomon's life. He had a bunch of wives. He had hundreds of concubines. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, you can read about all the things that he pondered, some of the things he tried, all of the things of the world that he went ahead and experimented with or maybe observed in the lives of others. I believe that he went pretty far out, but he said that, "I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly." He says, "I know what it's like, because I've been there, or I've seen people who were there." But I believe that he's testifying that, you know, finally I decided, hey, I need to leave that stuff alone and come back to God. But he says in verse 15, "Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee." Now, what is this saying? I believe that this is saying that all of the blessings that God has for you, we said that these were being symbolized by a man and his faithful wife, a wife and her faithful man. That a family life is something to be cherished, it's something to be desired, it's something to make sure that we hold it sacred. But he says, "Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well." In a few verses, in verse 19, he'll make reference to sexuality, and we'll get there in a second. But I believe he's saying that if you want pleasure, if you want sexual pleasure or companionship, that you should look to the one that God gave you. You thirsty? Fine. Drink waters out of your own cistern. And running waters, or living water, which of course speaks about the Holy Spirit, and running waters out of thine own well. Then he says in verse 16, "Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the streets." And I believe that this is saying that the verse we just read, it talks about running waters, and I said that that's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. If you as a Christian are faithful to God, if you as a Christian spend time in prayer, spend time reading the Word, get to know the Lord, They're going to take note of you just like they took note of the apostles in the book of Acts. That, man, these people have been with Jesus. And you will begin to bless others. You will begin to lead others to God. And a lot of it has to do with you being faithful to your family. And of course, that's symbolic of being faithful to the Lord. Verse 17, let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. If you have a beautiful wife, you enjoy that wife, but she's your wife, and not anyone else's. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. And I think that that's talking about your children, your offspring. Verse 19, and I referenced this just a bit ago. Let her be as the loving hind and the pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Now, we have a physical body. We have a soul. We have the Spirit of God that dwells in us. But part of our makeup is sexuality. God is not ashamed of sexuality. But it's intended to be within marriage. It's not intended, as this passage started out, that you should look outside of marriage for your sexual needs. And God says that it's a wonderful thing to enjoy sexuality within marriage. And that's something that the Bible does teach. And he doesn't say that we should be prudes. It doesn't say anything like that. The Elizabethan era, good thing that's gone away. But again, sexuality is intended to be within the bonds of marriage. There's faithfulness. It's not just the physical, but there's faithfulness. There's knowing that you can depend on your wife. Your wife can depend on you. You know that your children, which obviously are a product of sex, your children know that you're a man of God, a woman of God. Your children know that you love your spouse and that you make sure that they're cared for. And again, many times we forget these things. Verse 20, and why wilt thou, my son, be ravaged with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly shall he go astray. Let me say that we know better. We know better than to go off and be involved in sexual sin. We know better. And if we fall astray, we've had enough warning. We as a society know that what does society do? They hold up the institution of marriage as the right and the normal thing. That's the way we should live. We're taught it, well, I don't know what they teach in schools today. When I was in school, they taught that you should honor your family. The Word of God teaches that marriage is the way that God intended. Anybody with half a brain knows that you shouldn't go off and forsake your wife and go off and do other things. So we've had ample warning of these truths. And if we say, well, yeah, I've heard the warning, and I'm going to go do what I want, if we end up in divorce court, if we end up losing everything that we have and paying alimony for the rest of our life or whatever, it's our own fault, he's saying. It's our own fault. Now, we said that all of this was symbolic of our walk with God. We've heard preaching. We've heard hundreds, maybe thousands of sermons. We've read the Word of God. We've studied. We've been to Sunday school. We've heard sermons on the radio. We've been told again and again and again, this is the way, walk ye therein. And if we decide to close the book and not go to church anymore and to just don't care about it, just want to do my own thing, if we end up in hell one day, it's our own fault. God has given us ample warning. That's what he's saying. That's what Solomon is saying here. And that's what God will say. Well, I told you. I sent people to you. There was a church around the corner. You were a member of it. Every time you wanted to, you could turn on the radio anytime you wanted to and hear a sermon. And you chose to leave me and go the wrong way. It's your own fault. That's what he's saying here. So do us all a favor. Remember to follow the Lord. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.